Did you enjoy that dip today?
Yeah, just suddenly in here at work today, just pulling out apps and things and pushing buttons. I was going to just kind of mention what I added a little bit of, just because the goal here is to sort of grab the things that maybe dip the most to some extent for me. Zephyrit 2126 is really good here.
ETH Classic dipped pretty good today.
What's that?
ETH Classic dipped to $34 today.
Oh, did it? I missed that. It's at 35 where I first picked it up. So I kind of, there's a couple others that dipped a bit, that have stayed a little down, like Metis is one. We were talking about the other day. I think they're doing some sort of token migration or something at some point too. So there's some activity going on there. So its chart looks good on KuCoin and whatnot. But I picked it up, I don't remember what price, but it was down about 10% on my portfolio. So I just topped it off. I didn't martingale it or anything. I just added to that position because I already took a sufficient enough position on this random coin I don't know anything about anyway. So I just kind of topped it off. So what I do is I'll just, like, let's say you buy like $1,000 or something, it goes down 10%. It's something like I've already taken a substantial position in. I don't really care about that coin that much. I'll just add $100 in, for example, just to kind of top that position off a little bit. But if there's like a substantial drop, like something drops like 30-40%, then I'll be more aggressive. I'll basically like double that position. I tend to buy it not just double, but some number that's like even. So for example, let's say the $1,000 position, it drops like to $600. What I'll do is I'll buy like $1,400 worth, and I'll do that so that not only do I end up sort of doubling that position, but I can keep track of that position easier because it's an even number, right? Like I know I bought an even number and I topped off to that. So it's like really easy to tell where the hell you are without, complicated traffic tracking that shit. So Metis was one with a bit of a down, if I'm down, that means if you're first getting into it, it's even better because that means that you're getting a discount compared to when I bought it. So that's kind of good. So Metis was one that dipped. What was the other one? Hold up just a second. Let me pull that up here. This is that like small batch of coins I picked up the other day. Oh, Engine Coin, ENJ. Again, I don't know the slightest fucking thing about this thing. Like the point is like, it's just mechanical technical trading in a sense, where I believe that alt season's around the corner the next few weeks, really kind of like where everything pumps crazy. And the idea was to just pick up a bunch of randoms that I can sell just for purely speculative trading purposes to make some free money. So Engine was like, I bought it and then it dipped about 10 to 15% since the last 2 days. And that one had already kind of pumped a bit. I knew it was going to pull back. It was like, I knew I was going to have to add to that and just hold that for the next few months. So that was the idea there. But if you're getting it today, you got a little bit of discount compared to me. But yeah, pulled back about 15%. I think like Zephyr, for example, has like an 8% dip since yesterday. It's like 21.20. At least that's what it shows on my little TradingView percent thing. But that, although TradingView is not very accurate, the little percent thing on their little thing is like sometimes meaningless. I don't know that it actually reflects 24-hour numbers, but who cares? Point is like it's it's at a, like, that's a good dip in a crypto space. Like when you get 8% quickly, it's easy to add to those positions. So that's a pretty good. The other one that is down, if we don't have any, Kujira is down to 386. Its top high was like $5.60. It's like range low is like $3 and it's at 386. It recently went up to about 490 and then dipped to this level. Not a bad place if you don't have any Kujira to get some. Under $4, I think, is like the discount zone. $4 to $3 is pretty much like this support range for the most part. And again, you know, if we get like an alt season type of thing in the next few weeks, you know, what's going to run exactly, I don't know. But my intuition was that the older coins, the Dino coins, were going to probably make the biggest run. So let's see, what else did I pick up? That's about it that I added to. Chainlink is doing good now as far as like the Link Bitcoin chart is demonstrating like sort of evidence of bottoming out. What's that?
Looks really good, actually.
Yeah, it's showing evidence of kind of bottoming out. And I think, you know, even with BTC dip, it did not go down. Why you see a Link BTC reversal on the chart. And on the daily, you know, I have those like interesting little blue and gray and yellow candles. It's kind of a trend reversal sort of concept where it's like a guy I know programmed a little system that gives you an approximation. They're not 100% accurate, but we haven't had a blue candle on that indicator on the Link BTC chart for quite some time now. It's been like in a downtrend since February 5th. So it kind of had shitty performance, as everyone knows, during that time. But it's at like a fib level, essentially, for Link BTC. And I think it's a good time, if any, for reversal, especially if we're going to get like a Dino coin total 3 pump in the next next month. I think all the people like, you know, talking about like various Link fundamentals or whatever, who for whatever reason don't like it, are probably just like, who really cares? It, like, chart wise, it looks really smooth here. It looks like a good reversal location. So Link might be a good choice. It's $21.10, which is basically where it is now. $21.12 is where there's a fib level on the long chart. And that's 4 fib levels up from the bottom. So people that say that like it hasn't performed very well, I mean, it's done 400%. I understand that I bought more Link than I bought like stocks in the stock market for a solid like year and a half. So
what's your average?
My 300% or 400%, like for some of those. So some of those positions are 5 to 7. I added more, and I'm up to like maybe $15 average now. So I added a lot more, but like. Like the fact that I've outperformed the stock market with large sums of money. When people say, oh, like, you know, your coin didn't go up that much. Like as someone was posting on the timeline, like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. The fuck I don't. Like I have more money than you can possibly imagine that like I'm throwing at these things. So it's like when you're using large sums of money, like your only concerns are not whether or not the thing moons like a meme coin. Your concerns are what is the downside risk if you're holding a large sum of money. So I feel like so my mantra holds true. Utility is what forms the bottoms and hype is what forms the tops. And when I tweet things, like the coins I'm tweeting are not for everybody. They're not necessarily the highest gain coin automatically. Like I'm not buying Litecoin for like the highest gains in the universe. I'm buying them for wealth preservation. So I know like there's some coins I can put inordinate amounts of spot sums in, like truly endless amounts of money I could just drop into them without any concern of serious like mega downside risk, especially this part of the market. take Litecoin, for example. There's a 50-day moving average cross or 5,200 moving average cross to the upside. You know, the 200-day moving average is just curling upwards. So do you want a coins that like have been pumping for the last 6 months, or do you want something that has like a relatively easy 5x but has like just begun? You could argue whatever you want, but a lot of the people who are already in those coins have already pumped. They're going to want you to buy their shit. Like they want to have their AI coins or whatever moon. So I have had some of those, as you guys know. made plenty of money on those too. But the thing is, like, you know, on the timeline, you're going to have people shilling the stuff that has been absolutely pumped the most. And that's not automatically where I would necessarily put like new money or where I would recommend a newbie go into it. Because if a newbie goes into those AI coins, they've already run a lot. They won't know when to exit. You know that. Like, they're going to be exit liquidity. They're going to get dumped on. Whereas if I tell a newbie friend, oh, like, you know, Doge is looking pretty good here, Litecoin's looking pretty good here, odds they get a 3 to 5x and not lose any money is pretty high. Like pretty high, especially with simple guidance. So there's like the bird in the hand and the two in the bush kind of idea. And I think Link is one of those where fundamentals wise, it might not have the sexiest chart on the thing, but keep in mind, Chainlink's performance seems different than Solana materially for a reason. Solana had a worse dump from the top. So what happened with Solana is the volatility is higher because it had way, like, it went from like, I don't remember where the price was here, but like, I pulled this up last night to see like relative performance, what's going on here. So if you look at Solana, it was like 259, it dropped to $8. Like, that's got to be the worst drawdown, like, in crypto. Like, it was just straight up terrible. Of course, it goes up from there because, you know, after these capitulations, things go up, and Solana made it almost back to its previous high as far as FIB levels. So it's doing great from that perspective. And if you got into the very bottom, or even like the $20 range, like my sister-in-law did, you're doing pretty good, right? You're doing fine. But with Link, like, it didn't drop as much as Solana did. It only dropped like 91% from the top. So that's like not as deep of retracement, and obviously, and you know, but at the same time, like, the odds of a less deep retracement on Link are pretty good just because of its numbers last season. So I think like there's a buying pressure that emerges at the bottoms for Link that I can rely upon. And because I can rely upon them, I can put large sums of money in it without question. Like, I don't have to sit here and go, oh, like, I'm going to lose my money or some shit. It's just like, it feels safer there. So there are certain places you park money because you feel safe there with large sums, and others where you like might use leverage and whatever else. So also, even if you were using leverage, it's easier to pick like where your stop losses are going to be in something like Chainlink than it is in a lot of other places. So, you know, like, is that Wabi? You there? Yeah, you're good. You're good, Ben. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, it sounds good. Turning point. Anyway, in these dips, like, there's been a fair number of items that have looked pretty good now. And I think you're seeing this slow climb of the dino coins. The 200-day moving average, even for Atom, has started to turn up. So clearly in an uptrend. Link, Ethereum Classic, all of these things, like, are, you know, Doge, all these things have, he disappeared again, have started to, you know, curl upwards in terms of long moving averages. So yeah, they're late in the cycle, but that's the beauty of them, right? Like, they haven't had all of their upside, and their downside, you're right off the bottoms. So when people say you can't make much gains on them, sure you can. Like, in order to make a 10x on an AI coin, you're going to be in very lofty territory, and you're going to have to sell them precisely, right? Whereas with, at this point, because a lot of the gains have already been had, how long ago did I post the fetch chart? Like, what, 6 months ago, maybe more? I don't know. Like, when, remember, I think I got it at like 40 cents or something, and now it's at like, I don't know, probably like $3 or whatever. So like, those of us who have already gotten rich doing that, or it's like, you know, it's sort of late for that. It's not that you couldn't keep going up, and if you have a position, hold it. I'm just saying, like, that chart, like, for Fetch is a great example. Maybe it goes to $5, but like, it's really, really ripe for a correction theoretically. And what can happen is when the rest of Total 3 starts taking off, it's quite possible that coins that have previously run start to correct while people rotate into the next, like, next rotation. So you don't want to be caught on something where something's already run and it's running up to its highest FIB levels, yet there's other coins over here that haven't moved at all yet. And you can be lulled into thinking that they haven't moved because people don't like them or whatever else. this is just like rotating capital and stuff. And market makers start pushing up the price of these other coins just to start pumping their bags. And what will happen is that that will cause people to show up and start buying. And like, it's much, much easier, honestly, to make 3 and 4 and 5 X's here and there than to try to like pray to God for like 100 X somewhere. Way faster to sort of like multiply this this way. Anyway, but yeah, Morty, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Hey, what's your opinion on, for example, last season of the bull market? Chainlink outperformed the market in the first half, and the second half it fell asleep. So how do you feel about it this time? Just, I guess, kind of going with the flow.
What, you mean Chainlink?
Yeah.
I think last time you could make a simple explanation for that. One, it ran before everything else. So like what, it was under $1 and it ran to $53. Its performance was excellent, right? By all metrics. And so it peaked out in the earlier because it started earlier. And this is why I'm warning about AI coins. I'm like, you don't know if they're going to keep running. There are examples where that did not happen. Chainlink would be the perfect example. So it's like, that's kind of what, you know, like that's kind of what I've been trying to say about this. These AI coins. Now, the other thing that happened, if you'll notice, is last season, there are other coins that did just what Chainlink did too. Another good example of one that sort of like a coin that peaked out very early during, you know, when Bitcoin broke out was Ethereum Classic. It broke out, it ran hard, and then it just bled, you know, like the rest of the cycle, it bled. Even 2022, it didn't really make another peak. So it was a true pump and dump in a sense. And I think that's what it will do again, if I had to guess. There's not a lot of great reasons to hold Ethereum Classic or Litecoin or anything. Like, there's not like outside of purely speculative, right? So what you do is you ride up the meat of the bubble. You don't try to wait for some double bubble on those, and you exit and you can rotate into whatever you feel like at that point. So these are things that like, you have to have a thesis that you are definitely going to sell them. These are not hodls. These are not any of that shit. Like, they're literally like you need to sell them. And when you sell them is up to you. Like, you know, if you buy these type of things. But so yeah, Link was not the only coin that had this behavior. Another reason why it could have fallen is because it's quite possible that when these things pump to really hard, like there's a lot of miners who need to sell. Or in the case of Chainlink, there's actually Chainlink themselves that sells, right? They, you know, they have a fixed selling schedule. This can also happen with like proof of stake chains, where there's a lot of inflationary rewards, and when the coin price pumps, there's a lot of extra coins out there, and people want to sell those. So you have to kind of you have to keep all this in mind when you're doing this. So there's nothing guaranteed that like these things will have the same pattern as 2020 or 2021, but they vary substantially in terms of their behavior. I think like my suspicion is, and this is the reason, like I think things like ETC, Link, Doge, they'll tend to run together in kind of the dino coin category, somewhat because maybe people categorize them together, but also they seem to be on similar cycles, right? They're not exactly on the BTC cycle. They're like offset a little bit. So it takes longer for their charts to go back to looking normal. It takes longer for their 200-day moving average to sort of flatten out and whatever. Take ETC, for example. If you pull up the Ethereum Classic chart, the 200-day moving average just started turning upwards, like visually on the chart, like December. It really was in a downtrend all that way, right? So, you know, and once these things start trending upwards, then a lot of people have trend indicators on their apps and things, and like, oh, it's trending upwards, I'm going to jump into this now. A lot of people will bot trade it that way too. They'll use like 200-day moving average in an uptrend, or the 50-day, 200-day moving average cross as a kind of marker for considering buying, especially if the 200-day is an uptrend. Remember, like this is a concept people use. If you have the 200-day moving average of a coin and it's in a downtrend, that the line is going, you know, down, and you have a 50-day moving average cross that, that's considered, like in my mind, a false golden cross. A false golden cross is where the overall trend is down, but you have a little bit of a correction to the upside. And sometimes you can have like a big move, like July of 2022, ETC, for example, had a big pump, like, you know, three fib levels up, and you had like, it still crashed. So at the time, 200 day moving average is in downtrend, you crossed upwards, and then it still kind of crashed again and went back into downtrend. So now finally, what the difference is from November till now, you have the 200 day moving average in a true uptrend. And usually in crypto, that's like a, like, that's a sign of reason, good times to come. Now, going back to 2019, like, you had Ethereum Classic as an example, go into these little short uptrends for a while, and it still languished for a year. So there's no guarantee for sure. But my theory is that the several weeks after the BTC, you know, break of all time high, this is when these coins are going to run. So I'm predicating all this, like, buying on sort of like some past history from 2020, 2021. And you're basically talking about a peak that happened sometime in May of 2021. So that'd be like a 5 month run. The reason why it's important to sort of like lay out some timeframes and get an idea is like understanding how fast these things move, how aggressively they can go up over what time frame, what's realistic, what isn't, what's moon boy talk, what isn't, right? Like to say that Ethereum Classic went from like $5 to $179 isn't moon boy talk. It actually happened. Like that's that, like, I didn't, you know, participate in that. I didn't make much money on that idea, but like, that's what happened. So, here in this instance, like again, ETC starts the year with like a $13 or so bottom. And then the question is like, how high can it go? And I think like one fib extension to like $372 or maybe two to $542 is actually possible. And that's still like a 10X from here. Even if I'm wrong, like, who cares? Like, let's say it only goes up 3X. Like, okay, like go from 35 to 104. That's still really good. So long as like the probability is more up than down and my money's more likely to be green than red, then, you know, I'll throw some money at it and see what happens. And, you know, if you can get, obviously in a bull market, you can get 10 and, you know, 100Xs, you know, more power to you. I think it really depends on how much money you have, how much you're willing to risk in very high risk stuff. And, you know, that's, you know, kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, let's see, where were we now? So, yeah, Morty, any other like concepts, questions in your head as far as like,
that is all. Thanks.
How we think about this stuff. Kareem, is your rune doing good? Like, what happened with that?
Yeah,
it's looking good. It's like, yeah, pull back a dollar.
Yeah.
Like 10 bucks. Yeah. Yeah.
But I really, really think what you described around rotating into shit that hasn't moved, it has to be RSR. That chart is screaming that.
RSR, I think we talked about this yesterday. I think it looks, yeah, it's three fibs up from the, hold up a second. No, that's wrong. I've got to redraw that one. It's, I have really old. RSI performed quite badly overall, though, in the sense that, remember, it created a lower low this year than last season. So it's like, its chart is a total disaster so far. But at the same time, the caveat to that, it actually started during a bull market. So the problem when you have a coin that begins its life cycle during a bull market is the many of those will like start it irrelevant, like irrational valuations, and then they'll pump from there to irrational, more irrational valuations. But they haven't gone into negative price discovery because they haven't been able to, they haven't been in a bear market. So you can't really use that, you know, like you can't use it the way we normally would, like, oh, it's a lower low or whatever. Let me pull up its thing here.
Yeah.
I'm drawing it real quick. So it's only up two Fed levels. Its 200-day moving average is starting to kind of turn upward. It's definitely underperformed total three. But at the same time, like we said, the thesis is that you know, if you get the underperformer and hasn't run yet, the odds of getting upside with relatively low downside is pretty good. So yeah, RSR is not bad here. If you like, for this type of thesis, And again, this doesn't mean that these things will be the highest performers. I'm not saying this at all. Like, it's the idea that, let's say you're rotating out of something that's pumped like crazy, and you want to stick it into something that may give you another 2x. I mean, think about this. You get a 10x on something, and you get going to rotate something that's an easy 2x. You've now made a 20x. Get the fuck out of here. Like, what? Like, how much better could you do than that, really? So this is the secret in crypto. It's like, it's these other coins are not about making 10x's and 100x's. They're about, if you've already made money somewhere else and you don't want to lose it, how do you keep your money? And that's an important, that's an important state of mind to get into, because you want to have money for the next bear market to play, right? You don't want to be broke at that point. Yeah.
But also, you mentioned, we'll add a question about the pinned tweet on the Jumbotron too. I mean, is this just rumors? Like, what have we, how should we think about the Fed when it comes
to? I don't know. Business Insider makes up a bunch of shit too. I wouldn't use anything they say with any kind of like actionable whatever.
Either way, you cut rates, Bitcoin and the crypto market explodes. If you don't, it continues to explode upwards, right? Like, I guess neither option hurts.
Yeah, I mean, previously it ran with like as a risk on asset with low interest rates. This season, BTC ran without any of that. So I've always been a little suspicious about the correlation with crypto and interest rates and stuff. I think a lot of times they tend to correlate, but it could be by chance partly too. Like, how many people do you know that are deciding to buy crypto or not buy crypto based on like how much, you know, their interest rates they have and, you know, borrowing money at the bank or something? Like, I don't know if that's really much of a thing. I don't know. A lot of people, I think most people buy crypto with their, you know, disposable income or something like that, but not, you know, most people are not borrowing from the bank to go buy crypto. I don't know. I suppose like if you are, I don't know. Anyway, so I guess if people's interest rates are higher on their homes or cars or something, they're going to have less disposable income to spend on crypto, but so far it hasn't made that much difference. So we'll see. Yeah, Morty.
Yeah, another question. I was just taking a look at the BTC dominance. Do you think that's going to take a break for a while, or what's your opinion on that?
Oh, that's what my assumption was, that dominance would fall like in the next few weeks. Remember, like alt's going to run. That's basically what that means. Alts go up, BTC doesn't go up as much, then alts get more dominance as far as like market cap. So, the simplest thing to look at there would be like just Total 3. You pull up the Total 3 chart on TradingView and you kind of see where we are with that. We only have one fib level to go on that to hit all-time high. And a lot of that was driven by Solana's market cap. So we're at $757 billion for Total 3. And, I think that will work on breaking all time high here in the next, I would think next month or so, as like Solana tries to run and a lot of other things start moving. This chart is kind of like dominated by the coins that have run in market cap. I think AI and Caspa and what else? Solana, there's a few like relatively higher winners in terms of like growth compared to some others. And that represents a significant portion of that rise in market cap for Total 3. So it's disproportionate. Is it possible that like some of the underperformers will catch up? I think so, which is why I've been kind of like playing in those. But there's a long way to go. Like if Total 3 really, really runs, like, I'm not sure how high of a market cap it can reach. Like last season, it was 1.8 trillion or 1.1 trillion. I'm sorry. Can you get that to go to some ridiculous 2 or 3 trillion number this time? Probably. So we'll see. But the magnitude effect is not going to be found in like, you're not going to get the biggest gains if you own, say, for example, Solana, I don't think. A lot of that, the meat of the move has already been kind of taken. So I wouldn't dive into stuff that's already really, really high. I would probably pick a bunch of low market cap shit. So if you want the highest gains and you're not, you don't care about the risk, you don't care about whether the money, you know, you lose it or not, or like whatever else, like, and you just want to be like, oh, I'm just going to the casino to gamble here. I want the highest sort of like leverage on the crypto space as possible. You go to the micro caps, get stuff that's like under 100 mil market cap. That would be the way to go. And it's fine to have a few of those positions, by the way. It's quite possible that my, some of my positions that are very low market cap, like under 100 million, like Zephyr, you know, if that does a 10x, it's gonna materially become bigger than a lot of my other positions that are safer. So, you know, that's the funny thing. Like, you can have a relatively small amount of a high risk thing and it blows out and beats everything. And you can have some of the larger amounts of money in smaller caps and they don't beat. But I would be very, very cautious about going like YOLOing in your life savings into some micro cap that, you know, could get rugged or some technical problem happens or whatever the fuck else, and it goes to zero. So, and people forget all that, like, you know, that people throw caution to the wind. Like, for example, when like Luna UST was a thing, I love talking about it. It was an interesting project, but that didn't mean like all of my life savings were in it, or I was like going to get a Women of Web 3 job and just disappear, fucking, you know, go to whatever because I'm rich. It was just like, I was like any other thing. It's like, it could go to zero. It could have events. You could have like DPEG, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't the only thing I owned. And it certainly wasn't the, it wasn't like an all in thing. Like some people like just got lucky. They had like a sizable bag in a certain coin and it went up like crazy. And then they're like, oh, they feel genius and they feel rich. But then when the thing, and they even quit their jobs and shit, whatever, because they're like, oh, I'm going to go and do, you know, I'm going to work in like Web3 projects now because I'm a crypto dork. And what ended up happening was, is that like when the thing crashed and people lost their money, you know, but like during spaces, like I like warn people of all sorts of different risks, but no one ever pays attention to that shit. They just like, oh, and
what do you have against the Women of Web 3, Safi?
Women of Web 3. It's just a funny category. It's just a goofy thing.
You think they're like, goofy and funny and stupid?
Yeah, what happens is like so during the bear market, Women of Web 3 disappear. They're fucking gone. Like then they'll have spaces called Women of Web 3, like that are just a bunch of women like get like jumping on the bandwagon after prices have gone up already. But they like get the fuck out of Dodge when the going is rough. So it's like, I don't know. I don't have respect for those folks that disappear during a bear market. Like, just because like A, they're bad traders. B, they should be telling people about their projects. If they're legit, they should tell them about their projects when their prices are fucking low. Duh. Not when you're at the very top at exit liquidity. So like, and this is the kind of behavior I see among that crowd. Like, it's kind of a top signal. When all the women start showing up doing spaces, it's usually a top signal. Like, it's definitely not a bottom signal.
Yeah, I also hate women.
That's cool. Docs, you were going to say something?
Yeah, man. I was thinking of two points. The Luna thing was just, I think the pace of it, that's the pace of how quickly it went up, just kind of, I think, caught everyone off. It wasn't even enough time to get your head around how quickly that thing was going up. And I'm sure that's going to happen with some projects going around this time. But I was also looking after...
That's been happening with projects this time. Like AI things and whatever have done really well. But they're going to crash really hard too, by the way.
Mm.
Like most of those AI things are pure vaporware. During a bear market, that shit is going to go down like, I mean, a good solid 95%.
Mm.
So wherever people are going to exit, they should do that and like decide what that looks like. Because like if you think you're going to be able to call the top, you know, like, you know, good luck with that. But that's really not as easy as it sounds. And like it's weird in crypto. It's like all of a sudden, for a while, you'll have like, you know, crypto is really busy. There's like people show up in spaces and talk about shit. And then all of a sudden, crickets. It's like everyone's gone. Like, wait, where the fuck did everyone go? And then prices start to go down. And like, last time, that should have been my first, like, you know, it was the first time I was on Twitter and Spaces and stuff in 2021. And I noticed that effect, but I didn't realize what it meant. I just figured, oh, you know, whatever, it's just a down week or something, right? Like, but now in retrospect, I'm like, oh, wait, the crowd just disappeared. Like, either they exited their positions or they got wrecked or something and they disappeared. And that was a good signal as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
But my point is like that signal's lagging though. It's like by the time that happens, your bag's already down 50%. So it's like you don't have a forward looking like you don't have a strong forward looking indicator that you've topped out. Exactly. Because even on Google Trends, you don't know where the trend is going to top out. You just know it's like, right? You know it's gone up a lot, but you don't know where the very top of that signal is either until it's over, which is interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, we were talking about GMX the other day, and I had another look at the chart, and I was thinking, actually, for people that are just getting in, it's quite a nice risk-reward, because if you do get caught, it did very well in the bear market. It does well when traders go, you know, everyone gets wrecked going long. Net makes more money. I don't know how much you know about it. But you stake your GMX, you get an ETH yield. And actually, as long as the whole thing doesn't completely implode, I think for, if you're worried about getting stuck in something over a bear market, I think that's quite a good. That's quite a good bet, and I think it's got a
3. I see what you're saying, because GMX is useful during a bear market in a sense, because people short things.
Well, it just makes more money because net traders go long, so it makes more profit. It made good profits in the bear, it was doing really well in the bear market, and it'll probably go up anyway because the fees of the assets is. You know that it's trading in the bull market, it's going to do quite well. I mean, I don't know if I see it doing like 10x, but if you're looking for like 3x with also something that you're not going to be terrified of holding it because it's proven that it can survive, I think it's quite a good shout. I'd probably be one of the only things I wouldn't sell going into the next bear market. And it's also kind of a nice way because you're earning ETH from staking it, you're kind of getting a nice like average over the year, as long as you remember, you know, you compound it regularly. So I don't know. I think it's quite a good shot.
Ducks, I've got an AFK for a minute, so you guys keep hanging out.
Cool. I got a top signal. As soon as the blockchain projects stop advertising and stop paying money to advertising companies and Web3 marketing companies, that's pretty much a sign that everybody's out of money and we're heading into a bear. Running a site right now, we've seen in the last 5 weeks, we've seen 100% traffic and like growth. About, you know, 80% of our traffic comes from SEO. And over the last like 5-6 weeks, we have like 100% increase in traffic. So the search signal is massive for us to understand. And when that starts to kind of like even out or even start to decline, you know, that's when I know when, you know, we're going to have.
Well, so you got a tool for this.
Yeah, it's a website with 700,000 pages of crypto tokens.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I got a little bit of inside info, but.
So we got a while to go.
Yeah, totally. We like in the last 5-6 weeks, 100% growth in organic traffic. I run an agency, so it's called Alpha Growth. .io. You can check it out. We've got 700,000 pages of free data, like analysis on transaction volume, users, all this type of stuff. And we're getting busy that we have to start hiring. So I think we're, you know, 6-12 months out before I would even consider a top signal at all. Like, and all the agencies that I know too are increasing spend. You can look at like the grants from, if you want kind of like more public data available. Look at the Zeely quests, look at things like Boost, Layer 3. As long as those things are increasing, there's tons of capital for growth. And then as like the amount of like, let's say Layer 3 quests and Zeelys are starting to slow down, marketing is the first thing that gets cut at the beginning of a bear. So it works that same way in SaaS advertising too, in SaaS companies. As soon as like advertising gets cut and ad tech companies start like not making as much money, then you know that there's a bear market coming.
So what is it? Zeely Quest? How do you find it?
Yeah, Zeely.io, Zeely Quests, Layer 3. These are kind of like these like airdrop farmer type of things, CyberConnect. Like the amount of grant money going into these things is just like massive right now. Like, and they'll bring you anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 users to your protocol. And so the amount of grant spending on these things is just like up and to the right. So follow the advertising, follow the marketing, and you will, if the marketing stops or the grants stop flowing to these quest programs or these airdrop companies, then you know that we're heading towards a top signal.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of think, like, I think from, I mean, when I was, when during the bear market, one of my main arguments to people was saying, look, either crypto is going to be, you know, actually designing stuff that's useful, but even if it doesn't, the combination of a dopamine, testosterone, and everyone being addicted to their phones is like, oh, this thing's going to come back based on that alone, even if nothing gets designed.
100%.
You know, like, and I think the other people talk about bubbles, and it's like, when did we have people that bubble? There was no one's ever had any bubbles where everyone had the trading device that they were addicted to on them the whole time. I don't see anyone talking about the difference in just having, you know, just mobiles within this whole trading thing. And like, none of this would have happened without that. I don't think, yeah, I think that's, so this, the advertising stuff and the social metrics, I think, is massive and like under discussed on crypto Twitter for sure.
Yeah, you're saying just the accessibility is unparalleled, basically.
Yeah.
This, like, it's like a casino that's always open, so you don't have to go to Vegas or whatever.
Yeah, and you get the added added bonus, like, of feeling smart, right? So the other thing that gets intoxicating is you got all of those things. You got the competition, and then you feel like a genius. And all those people that were telling you you're an idiot then go quiet, and then the hubris kicks in. So the whole thing is just like, I mean, people that compare this to bubbles that have gone in the past, I can't compare it, which makes me think, you should think like this. And this is, I'm sorry, I'm basing, I believe, you know, that crypto is going to change everything, but let's just say that the whole thing's bullshit. We're still going to get to crazy numbers based on that alone, I think.
Yeah, in fact, the way these interesting thing, I talk about this a lot, these fib extension tools that I talk about a lot, the way they work is the more volatility you have, the higher the upside. So it sounds insane, but like from top to bottom, whatever your coin price is, the deeper the retracement, the bigger the run in terms of percentage gains. This was true, for example, with like early Ethereum that trade retraced like 95%. It's true of like what happened to Solana here that did the same thing. It's like the deeper the dump, the bigger the pump. So it's like volatility is like kind of good in this space. Volatility attracts trades. Volatility attracts the gamblers. It attracts new dip buyers. And the more sort of like, and the hype cycles, the higher coins go in their hype cycle in terms of relative performance, the more likely a bunch of people are going to come back the next time for the same thing. And I think where fundamentals matter is if you're going to create a higher low with each subsequent cycle, say, for example, you could argue that, you know, Litecoin's not useful because X, Y, and Z. XMR is not useful because of whatever. You should have Bitcoin only. Maybe, but the thing is, like, as long as things are putting in higher lows with each season, it means somebody is there buying the dips and hodling these things forever. And so they do have some store of value performance. And the higher lows usually speak to fundamentals. So if there's a fundamental reason why people might want to hold a Litecoin or hold a Chainlink or whatever, the more fundamentals happen, the more you get higher lows on the next cycle. So let's take a Chainlink, for example, here. Like if you run to like 250 this cycle, just as an example, and you dump back to the prior high cycle high at $53, and let's say you get a new higher low, and that's now the new low, then that just suggests that like people want to hold this thing for some reason. There's some fundamental reason why people want to keep it. If it goes all the way back to the previous market low, like $5 again, or if it goes down below that even, then that's concerning because like people are escaping this thing and going to something else. Typically, if you have a project with good fundamentals of some sort, right? We talk about how most things in crypto don't do anything. There are a few things that they do. One is there's a store of value function at the bottoms. In proof of work chains in particular, like Bitcoin or Litecoin or whatever, it's all the same story. It's like they have like a basal value because like they're commodities because they're mined. So you have the store of value coins. You have the ones with like a technology that might be interesting that people might actually use, like banks and stock markets. That's where the Chainlink story comes in. Or I think some people argue that for XRP, although I'm not sure they've materialized that either. But these are all future promises, possible technologies that might be adopted. It'd be like early Amazon. There's no guarantee that that fucking bookstore was going to turn into this gigantic, you know, web enterprise early on. It was not. There's no guarantee that like Apple early on was going to become the Apple of today, for example. But, you know, yet here we are. So some of these are going to be like technologies that legitimately get benefited. And then there's like just sheer entertainment. I think another utility of crypto is that, like, if there's something that appears like consistently fun for some reason, say, for example, perps trading, that you, to your GMX point, perps trading seems very popular as far as an end goal of people that like to play the video game called crypto because they can sharpen their skills at shorting things and longing things and whatever else, right? Like, it's like a whole thing. So I think like entertainment is legit, and even memes sort of fall into the entertainment category, I think, to some extent, but like, these things kind of are legitimate use cases.
Oh,
it's the same way people go to a theme park or an amusement park. Why do people go there? They're entertained. Why do they watch a movie? Because they're entertained, you know?
But also, if you look at, you know, look at the amount of people working working on Uniswap compared to how many people are working at Coinbase, and you compare the volumes and how much those things make, or, you know, just the way that the whole thing's organized and the way that the value is distributed, that is going to get noticed. And I think, I think when if I'm trying to talk to someone that's like traditional finance and, you know, make the pitch, you know, I think GMX is a really good example of something that you could never, like, how would you design that if you were, you know, in a traditional finance kind of setting? It would be a completely different setup. You'd probably have to be working at Goldman Sachs for like 20 years. Whereas, you know, there's nothing in crypto stopping anyone who's from any part of the world starting that thing anonymously. And that's just very, I don't know, that's just much more free market and capitalist and exciting. And I think
GMX is also interesting, by the way. On a side note, they're one of the earlier adopters of Chainlink CCIP, mm-hmm. which allows them to bring in assets such as Paxos G Gold or Chainlink CCIP USDC. But as ultimately, if more assets are released into the CCIP ecosystem, GMX is going to be able to add those on their trading and various platforms, along with like the price feeds that they use from Chainlink. So it's kind of interesting.
They got the community thing going as well. Like, they got the sort of like the NFT thing around. That's quite cool. I just think that trading, you know, trading and 50x leverage is, you know, that's never going anyway. And it's fun. And the UX is also excellent. Like, the user experience.
And I don't cool. use it personally, but I've heard only good things from those that do. So.
Yeah, I've never used leverage on any before using GMX. I haven't used it on any of my own Kraken or anywhere else. But that's the first time I've used it on that, and that was kind of a different experience in crypto.
Yeah. It can be interesting. It can get people wrecked pretty bad too, because like I threw a bunch of money on Ox.Fund. I think I dropped like I lost like I'm down like 8K or something. I was monkeying around, just having fun.
Yeah.
I went really aggressive just for the fuck of it. Like, just, you know, like, just, but I
did. Yeah, I mean, the worst thing that could happen is you make a lot of money doing it. And it's like going into, like, playing poker.
Yeah,
like,
worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Money. You'll, like, go to the casino and win, and then you just think you're...
Exactly. It's the most dangerous thing.
I'm not advocating that. I just think it's an interesting way of organizing
The trouble with leverage things is that, like, many people become genuinely gambling addicts, and the problem with that is obviously multifold. But becoming a gambling addict is truly a all-encompassing
the worst
situation for people. It's like, it's just like alcohol or drug addiction. It'll fuck you up bad. Like, you have no idea. Like, you're until you expose yourself to the price action, you don't know if you're going to be a future gambling addict. Like, it's similar to, like, if you take a few sips of alcohol here and there, you know, you might be okay, but then later you're not really sure if you're going to become an alcohol addict. It's the same situation. Like, nobody goes into these things going, oh, I'm going to become a gambling addict and lose all my money, or drugs and alcohol, whatever. It's the same deal.
You're making me feel bad now. I feel like I want to put someone on. No. I mean, that was not my point about this whole thing.
I know. At all.
No,
but I do agree. Like, but this is, like you, I don't play with leverage much, because it's just not a, like, is just not a great healthy way of living, because the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it, basically.
For sure.
Here's another signal. CoinGecko is over capacity right now. Wait a moment and try again.
It's been struggling for a while.
Yeah. It's been struggling for a bit. So we're definitely in that. And then with Coinbase starting, you know, having issues during high volatility days, that's another good point, man.
Yeah. I mean, the best data would be on how much, if you could find out how often people are checking their CoinGecko, the chart on that versus BTC price must be a lovely indicator. Because I'm up about many, many percent the last month.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the CoinGecko thing also, like, even just during volatility, people hop on there. They're like, what happened to my money? Where's things going? You know? So, yeah. I think the phone app version of it, by the way, is more likely to be down. The desktop version usually, by the way, if people didn't know that, I would have this thing where the phone app just gets stuck. But I've never had the website go down.
You know, another thing about GMX, Effy, that I don't think that was mentioned is that it has like this thing built in where people stake it to get like multiplier points and to gain ETH and some other coins that they give them. And the cool thing about it is it's not just like a regular staking protocol, because it's like, it's almost like addicted or crack cocaine in itself, because I have a buddy that is in GMX and he's been staked the whole time. And like throughout the entire bear market and even right now, he won't sell the damn thing. His wallet even got compromised and he still won't sell the fucking thing, just because like it has all these multiplier points that's built upon it for like almost a year or two. And he can't be the only one that's thinking like that. His wallet got compromised and he still has, I mean, it was just for like the Grail token for something else. And I told him to like, I was like, dude, you need to move all your tokens right away to a new wallet. And he did with everything else except for that fucking GMX because of those multiplier points. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man, is that like the protocol is set up to like keep people in it, because not only do you have that, but then like the staking tokens that you get is this thing called escrow GMX. And that shit is like, it doesn't turn into regular GMX until you claim it. And it's like a 6 month period to like burn it back into regular GMX. So like the whole thing is set up to like keep the money in the protocol. And it's bullish as hell. Like I'm with that, with whoever's saying that, is that it's a good protocol for long term.
But that's another point. So all the stuff we're talking about, like, why hasn't there been like straightforward? Like, I haven't seen good. Every time I see like a gambling or a betting thing come on crypto, I mean, that was the first, when I first got into crypto, I thought that was the most obvious thing that I thought would just blow up, would just be like really great, like gambling markets.
There is one. It's called Rollbit, and it went up huge for like 6 months, and then it was a bear market runner though, and I haven't heard much about it since.
Okay.
But that's the king of it is Rollbit. And like there, you can gamble on sports and anything on that. I haven't been on it, but I've seen all the Gainsy, I think, was one of the influencers that was pushing it.
Okay. Was it connected to some like gambling website somewhere, or was it its own thing?
It's basically a gambling website in crypto, like a crypto casino gambling website. If you type in like Rollbit.io and like a DuckDuckGo or something, so that you can get a good
game. It's done now, is it? It's not worth it.
I mean, at some point it's going to run it back. I mean, it's the one thing, like you were saying, that gambling is something that will go on until the age, till humans are dead or gone. So like, will it be successful?
Is the problem that in crypto, why would you want to gamble on anything else? Maybe we've already got, maybe you don't want to go to bank gambling on sports.
It's just that like crypto is set up for like, you know, not like anonymous and for like a lot of leverage and everything else that you can do with it. And that's why it's such a perfect match. I don't condone it. Like I don't gamble with it and I don't do it, but I can understand why it's so successful.
You mean Rollbit?
Yeah, Rollbit.
Yeah. Okay,
cool. Or anything like it, you know, like any type of like sports gambling casino. Like I don't say it's great. I don't say it's bad, but it's definitely a good match with crypto use case.
Yeah.
Seppi, did you ever buy any Rollbit when it was going hot, or did you stay away?
I didn't. That was kind of like some of the guys were into that though. I think Wabi had some and whatever. Like, what's it doing now?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it since it was going nuts. I missed it, so I just stayed away from it, and I don't do the gambling part of it, so it wasn't a call.
Yeah, you didn't need the coin for anything. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obviously done well. It's like started out. It's now at 376 mil market cap. It's done a good pullback. Its top was 24 cents. It's now at 13. So going into sort of like a relative bull market, doesn't look bad as far as charts are concerned. This is exactly the kind of chart you'd want to like look into for sure. It's now market cap ranked 236. I'm not sure, like, let's see here. Circulating supply, max. I don't know what its total supply appears to be circulating. Wait, I take that back. No, max supply is 5 billion and half of it is now circulating. I don't know where the other half comes from. It's some sort of like wet inflationary rewards or something. I'm not really sure.
So if you stake it, do you get a slice of the profits or what's the...
Yeah, like what's the tokenomics of this thing, or the what's the flywheel, as we call it? Like, what's the Ponzi-nomics?
I know there's something like that built into it, because everybody was raving about the Ponzi-nomics of it. I do, like I said, I missed it, so I didn't look into it too much.
Yeah, these things are always like with GMX, these things are about that flywheel, like Ponzi-nomic effect, and like what's the thing that like convinces people to hold the thing. Have you, for whatever reason,
Steffi, are you looking at doing any of these loans on Rune? Well, I've not seen the sort of the downside to that as much as I'd expect. It seems too good to be true.
The lending borrowing market, yeah. on Thorchain.
Yeah,
I have not. I haven't ever used that.
It's quite new, isn't it?
I haven't used those capabilities at all. Yeah, I haven't like at all. Yeah, it's relatively new. I think so far they haven't had any security or technical problems with that system, but it's relatively new. And with any complex new system, just remember that like there are most definitely risks, not financial risks, but like the technical risks of that system not working or getting hacked or whatever. Remember, Thorchain had several issues over the years. Like, so it's not like the first time. So I think these complex systems, they're fine until they're...
Did I hear the word 4chain? Sorry, I just got back.
Yeah, you did. Now we're talking about the lending market on there. Like, you know, just talking about how I don't typically use it, and I haven't been kind of venturing into those things lately. I've been trying to keep my portfolio simple, my taxes simple, and my... just because these things are... I move enough money in crypto that like it's very likely to get audited and stuff. So if I'm in that boat, like I don't really want to fuck around with too many things, to be honest with you, because like it's just a pain in the ass to keep track of all that shit. So I've been keeping a lot more simple this season. Like that's why the other day when I was on Coinbase, I'm like, tell me what's on Coinbase I can just buy.
Yeah,
just for the pump. And I can just sell it, and I, you know, it just like Coinly will do my taxes instantaneously. I'll make some profits, whatever, and I'm done. Like, I don't want to be bothered with that shit. It's like between my businesses and between personal taxes and between this and that, it's just like a lot of work. I do it all myself because like for various reasons, but the part of which is like dealing with accountants with this stuff. It takes even more time than me fucking just do it myself. But like, I've been trying to keep it simpler. And so that's why I don't have as much experience on the lending market.
It looks interesting, though. It looks interesting. I mean, I've read that it behaves more like an option than that they've sort of branded it as lending. I don't really understand. Yeah. I don't really understand the downside. That's the thing that
it's pretty popular, though, for sure. I think these things are driving Thorchain's volume and whatever, right?
Yeah, it's taking a lot of Rune out of circulation. I think if it gets capped out, then it'll take out like 5% of the circulating supply, from what I've read.
Interesting. And there's like some burn mechanism on Rune as well.
Yeah.
Which kind of adds to the excitement of it or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hopefully Kareem here gets super rich on his Rune bag. Or do you have some too, Doc?
I got my biggest bag.
I know. I clenched my butt cheeks when I saw it go down last night, over the course of last night.
Yeah, it's a scary one to hold, isn't it? I don't know why. There's something about it. Even though I it's been my biggest bear market investment, but
yeah, you, like with these things, you just have to you almost have to not look if it's bothering you too much, because. Yeah, well, put it this way: any paper gains on your chart, on your portfolio tracker, whatever, they're not real. Yeah. Like, you know, mentally, the right thing to do is split that number in half, and that's how much money you actually have.
Yeah,
because it's quite frankly like common to drop by 50%. So therefore, half of that number is the right number to, like, if you're like wondering how much do I really have here, split that in half. Not to mention, if you sell in any short-term capital gain situation, depending on where you live, you're paying like 30 to 40% anyway, in some instances, depending on your income. So, like, people that pay taxes, it's like, think of the number on your portfolio as like half of that. That's a good general benchmark, either because it dumps or
you're kidding me, man. That's taxes. I don't want that.
It's you don't want to do that, I know, but like, it'll keep you sane though. Like, otherwise, your stomach's gonna start churning like reams here with every dip of a dollar.
No, I don't mind about the dips. I mean, you know, I think ThorChain's good as long as there's no hacks or anything like that. You know, that's, they're obviously trying doing experimental things, and that's a good and a bad thing, but the metrics are going crazy. I mean, the volumes are crazy.
So remember, when the other thing is too, is like, when these things pump a lot, the retracements are very aggressive always. So it's like, you know, you're talking about, like, remember, a room went from $7 to like $386. The next run, it might go from here to, let's say, it goes to, I don't know, $21 at the all-time high. Maybe it does a pullback there, you know, but like, on these, the higher you go, the Fib levels separate out more and more. So like, you go from 10 to 21, 21 to 52, et cetera. And so you're going exponential here. So the thing is, like, the volatility is also exponential. Like, you could go up a whole lot, but you could drop 50% in a heartbeat. Right. And if, like, you're still way up on your base position, like from where you started. If you started at, like, you know, Rune at a dollar or something, now you're at 10, you're still doing okay, right? Like, but the volatility starts getting really high. And in your mind, every time the price goes up, you feel like that's your money. Like, you're like, that's my $1 million right there. That's mine. And then it dips 40% and you're like, and you're now worth 600,000. You're like, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't mine.
Yeah, but like, actually, like, what's really cool about this, at least that's unique to ThorChain, that I don't think is applicable to other tokens, is the non-KYC, KYB kind of aspect of it. Man, I just made, I don't know, $1 million in Rune. Okay, went down to 600K. Cool, I'm going to just immediately swap it to USDC and liquidity provide on one of the pools in, like, ThorChain, like, say, the USDC pool makes.
What's the paper trail? How'd your coins get to there in the first place?
I guess the paper trail is probably, for most people, it'll be from bank to Coinbase, from Coinbase, like ETH, BTC, sent to a Ethereum or BTC wallet. And then there ends the paper trail. Now you swap.
No, but it doesn't end the paper trail. That's my point. The ThorChain is an open ledger. Everything you do on there is visible.
No, totally. Even after you, no one knows, like, my specific MetaMask or, like, my specific.
Yeah, someone investigates would.
Yeah,
Coinbase does. So, and Coinbase is reporting to the IRS all cash movements out of there. IRS is checking everybody now.
Yeah, I guess my point.
So I would caution.
But the lack of KYC is just lack of hassle. That's the thing I think that's interesting about the KYC.
Kareem, what my point is, if you don't keep a record of what dates you did what, right, and what the price was at the time that you traded it and everything else, like, a lot of tracking software like Coinly, whatever, I don't think it works with ThorChain and stuff. So no, that is all discoverable, believe it or not.
No, it's not that it's not discoverable. I guess my point is like, you can send a bunch of shit out of your Coinbase, right? And now how far Coinbase tracks you at that point, who knows?
No, Coinbase doesn't track you, but wallet trackers can.
Sure. Easily. Yeah, sure, for sure.
And they know you've gone to a ThorChain, like, wallet too, for that
matter. Yeah, so it's like you have your store wallet, yeah, like, or some sort of other decentralized wallet. But my point is, you can do a lot of activity directly on the ThorChain protocol with a front end that's integrated with ThorChain. And
you can, but just be aware that, like, all of that is very traceable if someone wanted to.
No, I guess that's the point, though.
I don't want to send the message to people in this room that that's somehow, like, you know, some surreptitious thing. Yeah, like,
but
it's not.
But I guess my broader point is, you put in $1,000 like, let's just say you deposit money into Coinbase, you sent that out to a decentralized wallet, right? And now you 100x your ThorChain bag. I mean, who's looking. I mean, as far as Coinbase is concerned,
this is not Zephyr or whatever. There's a reason why I mentioned Zephyr. That you don't have to worry about it. With Doorchain, you most definitely do.
Yeah, there's no. I don't think that any of these protocols get big if they were a genuine way of hiding. There's no way you can get away with that.
If you only send $1,000, if you only send $1,000, you're probably fine. Nobody's gonna give a shit. Like, but if you spent over 10,000, it's automatically
marked. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely marked then. It's just my point is, you know, someone could have bought 10,000 rune at a dollar, or let's say 9,000 rune at a dollar. And if it hits that $50, if it, you know, that next fib level, let's say 9,000 times 50, yeah, that's 450K that you can then, you know, swap it into any L1. Which is, you know, without having to go to a centralized authority.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, you can swap into like BTC and dump in your wallet.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say. It's like now I can go anywhere without having to go back into a Coinbase with that huge sum.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
which
true.
I think
that's
is an
true.
Advantage. It's like a nice to have. I mean, yeah.
It's an advantage, just not a perfect one. Yeah.
But there's also like, the volumes are interesting. It's like who are these people using? I mean, They're massive volumes, right? Like I can't tell off the top of my head, but it's all up and to the right. So the slippage on these swaps is attracting big money, and it's actually doing what it said it was going to do all these years.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying to Chad. It's like congratulations for making the whole thing work, because like I've watched them over the years.
Yeah.
You know, with the different issues that they've had and whatever, it's really good that they were able to make this.
I think successful. Chad's a good. I mean, his confidence. You know, that is that's worth buying into.
Confidence, yeah, but he's been through the hard times too, so he knows what it means to get fucked over. So it's like,
that's
a good thing. That's a good thing for a dev.
Yeah.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, friends.
I like that sound you make.
Do that again. Do that again if you can.
Hey, what is it? Guys. I'll see you next time. Cheers.
Is it like a lizard sound, Bruce, or what kind of a sound is that? It's like it's like a pig almost. Yeah.
It's like a snort of some kind.
It's like if I go on a first date. It's the kind of thing I do.
Just like a Tourette? Like everyone's
on? Just to like build rapport or whatever. I think men now in 2024 and this kind of era are way too focused on the words themselves, when in history we'd focus more on like physical touch and sound. So
like beating our chest.
Yeah, just create like a full sensory experience for a woman. That's more my belief. Like how much can a woman feel if you just like spew words at her? Right? Like a word cell. Like just typing words. Women need to be like picked up and thrown places, like down wells and stuff, like into snake pits.
Like a spider chamber.
Yeah, like make her feel for a life, and then like make her feel safe. Saber. And keep alternating. Yeah. Like so, and sometimes be a human, sometimes like wake up as a fucking dog or something. Sometimes wake up as a snake, sometimes be a toad. I just mix it up, make her feel something. Then at least she knows she's alive.
It's a 1 minute of triggering, right?
Why did that guy leave when I joined? Was it personal? Should I be offended?
It was. He didn't like your voice.
It was probably the big sound.
Yeah, maybe you irritated him with it.
It's not halal, maybe.
We were just discussing your favorite chain.
Project. What is it?
Your favorite project or chain?
Infinity or zero chain?
Oh, Schrodinger's coins, as I like to class them.
Yeah, exactly.
It means don't blink, because the chain might crystallize into zero or infinity. You know what I reckon every chain should have? It's like a double or zero button, like put on the side. Like imagine for every popular chain, you go to the website somewhere and there's like a coin flip function. I wonder how many people would use it. Like the chance to double your entire holdings in one go. Probably a lot, I would say.
Haven't you ever seen those videos where they do that, where they gamble and they like hit the button and then they bet more? It's crazy.
I think is it Nike or someone put it in lately into like a product thing? I can't remember. But a few major companies have done it, and it's sort of a crypto invention, like double or nothing thing. But it would be good to build it in, like, based into the blockchain.
Man, people would degen on that and wreck themselves so hard.
Yeah, but it would be so fun. It would bring so much attention and humor and everything. And you could do it on small bags and stuff. Like, I definitely would. Like, I'd use it at least a few times just for a laugh.
Just always double down, you know? And then you cannot lose.
There are videos of people putting their like house or life savings on roulette that have got like 100 million views on YouTube. So, yeah, I'd like to do similar.
Interesting. I'm going to gamble away. Did they win or lose on those videos?
The guy I watched won. And everyone was really happy, which is cool.
It kind of reminds me of KSI when he tried to bid the Luna bottom or what he thought was bottom. That was kind of funny last time.
Yeah, but he's decently wealthy anyway. Probably wasn't playing with much money. And I think he gets allocations and stuff as well. Like, I don't think he's
Didn't he pick all that money though from like a, I thought he sold like a shitcoin for like a 25x or something, and then there was like $3 million that he shot into Luna right there.
Maybe, yeah. But he's I don't think he's morally clean either. I think Zach XBT or whoever has had a go on him before.
Oh, somebody got him. Yeah, makes sense.
For dumping. But like, I think if you go on his, if you look up Zach and then his tweets, KSI's tweets, KSI crypto, whatever it is, he's posted like transaction logs of dumping after tweeting and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the XCAD one, huh? I think that's what it is, where he was like promoting it. And then, like you said, he would like put the tweet out and then sell into the buy pressure at the same time, like large amounts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like create the buy pressure.
Yeah.
I think the guy is, this KSI guy is still around.
Yeah, he came back. He was messing around doing that Prime thing with Logan Paul, I think, before.
Which has gone well, by the way. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is everywhere.
Probably got new bags to gamble on.
Have you seen the reason why it tastes so good, though? Like, have you ever looked into like the science behind it?
I looked at like some chemical shit and also the crazy caffeine amount, which is like higher than Red Bull.
Yep. And it's got like a high amount of potassium, so like it makes it taste really, really sweet or good in comparison to like Gatorade that has a high amount of salt or sodium in it, as far as the electrolyte complex that's in it.
To the degree where it could cause like high levels that are dangerous or no?
Well, no, they just said it doesn't like actually replenish your electrolytes as good as like Gatorade or the other ones that have salt. Because you know, like that's what you're sweating out is your salt, not your potassium.
I went to emergency room once. I went to emergency room once with high potassium. I had like way too many supplements. Yeah. I was trying to do keto and I was trying to fix my like electrolyte levels because I thought they were low. I thought that's why I felt shit. So I just guzzled like way too much potassium and made myself feel really ill. And they tested the results and it was like high level.
Well, that can definitely kill you.
What's the fix? You just drink lots of water and piss it out or what?
Just like rebalance and basically just, I don't think I even did anything really. Did they give me something? I can't remember. I think it was like high, but not dangerously so. So I just like ate and rehydrated and whatever. My favorite Prime things are like those fake TikTok videos where it's like, I love my son so much. So I bought him a water fountain and then I got 400 crates worth of Prime and I filled it up so he can take a swig whenever he is gaming with his friends. And the son like turns around and smiles, thumbs up. Thanks, Mom.
I know what you're talking about. It's so funny.
Let me try and find one of these things.
If you have high potassium levels, you should consume sodium to balance it.
There used to be like, I don't know, like if you're anyone here old enough would know this, but like there used to be a time like in the 1980s when there'd be like these public service announcements. It's like
the G.I. Joe.
It's kind of like, no, it was like this, like these little announcements, like it happened during like Saturday morning cartoons, and that was a thing because like in TV, cartoons would show up on Saturday and maybe a little bit on not so much on Sunday. Sunday used to be all like church shows. So, yeah, they were the worst, and they were all like church shows and shit. Anyway, Saturday cartoons would be like a thing. And then afternoon weekday cartoons were a thing. And during Saturday, though, they'd have these Saturday morning like special things where they would like give you these service announcements. It's like Jimmy don't do drugs and, you know, Jenny eats something, that kind of shit. And like that was a whole funny like series of things. You probably find them on YouTube. Like these interesting service announcements that like where kids are not supposed to be bad and stuff. Really funny stuff. And you'd have to sit through those every time, because like back then it didn't make sense. You know, you didn't have a remote control for your TV.
There's no fast forward.
There's no fast forward. None of that shit. So you basically were subjected to this shit. Like now it's
consume.
Like you can just hit fast forward, skip ads and whatever else. Like that wasn't a thing back then. And you could go to, you know, walk up to the TV, turn the knob. And so a lot of kids, what they do is just sit by the TV because like, in order to, you didn't have a remote, so you just sit there with your hand on the knob and be like, okay, commercials, like you turn the knob. And then, you know, what happened is all these commercials, they used to have the commercials at the same time. That way, like, if you fuck around with the knob, you're just going to more commercials. That was like the gimmick that like came. Oh man, it was funny. You couldn't get away from those Saturday morning messages, though. It's like, all right, Jimmy, don't do drugs.
Is it just me, or yeah, do like, we all want to hear Coach Bruce fake an American accent?
Can you do it, Bruce? Can you actually?
He just did it. I thought it was amazing. I want to hear him do it again. I think it's fucking great. Please, Coach. Please.
Where'd he go? Oh, he's looking on YouTube for this video or something.
Yeah. So how about that Bitcoin?
Wee.
Yeah. I saw a little dip, so I fucking sold all my Solana for Bitcoin today.
I mentioned this earlier. I bought a little bit of everything that I had a few days ago. I bought that dipped like 10% or so. So I picked up Metis today because it's down a little bit, 10%. And then I got something else. What the hell was it? I don't remember. Like these are just like speculative things. I just like get them just for the purposes of like selling them at some point down the line for just free money. Because I think like alt season will happen.
Oh, I'm never selling anything. I'm just going to get ordinals.
You're going to hold everything.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder.
Oh, the other one that dipped was Engine Coin, ENJ. So like I bought a bit of that. Let me see if anything else had dipped a bit. I usually start adding to my thing if it dips like 10, 15, 20%. And I'm just
increase like building my position.
That's correct. Yeah, that's about it. Yep. Bull markets, like dips are for buying. That's really all you have to do. It's really
easy. Yeah, dude. I longed Sol from 147 and still going. Yee!
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good time to long. I didn't take advantage of that in the past phase. Sheesh. 69, baby.
There's a 25X or two, so it's a good one.
We do love a funny number.
What did you do up? Did you put like a limit order in for it or what?
I was watching it with a bunch of people that we have a trading group, but I was watching it. And so I just saw it and everybody says it's going to go down. It goes up. Everybody says it's going to go up. It goes down type of thing. So I just hedged it. The first one I put in was at like 70,900. And then it dipped down into the 68s. And then I added to it. And then it averaged out to 69 something.
That's pretty good.
I just found one of those videos. I just went looking for it.
How about a little American accent, Coach? We love it.
It's got to happen spontaneously. Just
put it in the top. You're right. You can't force it. You're right. It's got to be natural.
I found one of them. There's a better one, but I can't remember where it is. I pinned one at the top.
Are you on top of the KuCoin futures leaderboard, Coach?
Varying, but yeah, usually the bots leaderboard.
How much longer are you?
Say it again.
How much long are you on room?
Yeah. How much? Like dollars?
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Quite a lot, yeah. I have a theory that in 3 weeks, things go kind of crazy.
Like north of 300K with leverage, probably even more.
Well, it might be easy to get liquidated at a point like this. If you're too crazy, But I think it is objectively maybe the highest upside thing in the top 100 right now.
It's difficult to actually manipulate if there's inflows like that, right? Because just
and it'll just get better with time. Like, it's a flywheel, so they can keep raising the lending caps or whatever. Just flows in, and then with time, it becomes more and more preferable to swap through that. So hard to compete with.
Yeah, it's a good bet.
Like, I met my girlfriend's grandfather the other day, and he has, I think he has a little bit of Bitcoin, mainly Ethereum, and then he has Link and some other bullshit. And he was like, what should I do? And I said, put 10% in Rune. That was my only piece of advice for him. And I think it's true. Like, if you want a bit of excitement, if you want some sort of high risk reward bet, then probably Rune is a good one. Top 100. Like, in the realm of, like, reasonably safe, but at the same time, high upside. I'd give it that. Oh, is he disconnected?
Who?
Sefi.
I hope not. I mean,
would that kill the call if he was? Or the call, or the spaces?
Oh, maybe he just minimized to look at the video or something. It just said host is having connection issues.
Yeah, I see that too. I'm getting that message.
Yeah, he's probably looking at some sort of other media.
Yeah, Pornhub.
That's haram. You can't do that right now. It's haram.
In that video, the mom's like throwing the Prime bottles at the camera.
Yo, Ramadan Mubarak to all those who practice.
Dry fasting is pretty legit. That includes no water, no liquids. Dry
yes. fasting. I'm on day 3 now, and yeah, happy fasting, man.
Yeah, same, bro. I get to break fast in two hours or so.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt.
We raving under the earth. Sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. We'll be right back.